This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. As ocean temperatures rise, a unique underwater drama is unfolding. Fish and marine species are leaving their ancestral homes and moving to new, more hospitable waters. Off the coast of North Carolina, tropical and Arctic currents meet near Cape Hatteras, creating a rich mix of underwater species. Higher ocean temperatures mean many of the more lucrative species for the fishing industry are heading north. WUNC reporter Jay Price has been out in the water and joins me now. Jay, welcome.
Hey, Frank. Glad to be here.
Well, tell us more about this Mixmaster, the Gulf Stream and Labrador Current mixing just off the coast of North Carolina.
Yeah, so, I mean, they kind of slide past each other until Hatteras, or they are touching even further north. But the Labrador Current comes down and kind of tucks into Hatteras right there on the backside, the north side, and the Gulf Stream touches there and then kicks out. And so you've got these two, you know, one of them very cool water and one of them very warm water, carrying a lot of tropical species up this way. If you've ever been out anywhere offshore where the current actually is, the Gulf Stream, you see the water change temperatures. It looks tropical. There are tropical fish in it. It's pretty interesting place.
Interesting place, Mixmaster, and for fishers off the coast of North Carolina, that has meant a lucrative industry.
Yeah, so, you know, they have a variety of things they can target, and inshore too, you know, shrimp, for example. And some of the species are inshore are affected as well by the temperatures going up, down, and different. But we have this huge range of things they can target. And traditionally, North Carolina commercial fishermen will drop one species at a given moment when the season ends and pick up with another kind of gear and maybe the same boat. They'll have the larger trawlers are often kind of configured where they can shift around and target different kinds of things. Shrimp and fish, for example, and inshore shrimp. And then go steam north all the way to New England and catch fish up there and bring them back.
And what kind of fish? What are the other species we're talking about that are just off the coast?
Well, you know, the main ones that we were looking at, you know, I was talking to fishermen who do trawling for large catches with large trawlers. And we were looking at black sea bass, summer flounder, are two of the species they really target, and kind of traditionally they've steamed north for them to a degree. Although they both exist off of our coast, there are reasons they don't really hit them as hard here, and they'll just go a little farther north.
So they like the cooler waters, generally speaking.
Yeah.
And they've been pretty comfortable here for a while. But let's talk about the way and how much the ocean temperatures have risen as a result of climate change.
Well, that's all over the map. That's one of those things that's a variable. And if you ever looked at a picture, you know, kind of a satellite thermal image of the Gulf Stream, which is one of the most interesting facets of oceanography, the Gulf Stream, it has these weird curlicues coming off of it that spin around and go backwards, you know, on both sides. And it just kind of comes apart in places. And sort of the Labrador Current does the same thing. And if you've ever been to the beach, particularly the northern beaches on the Outer Banks, you might notice like one day the water's, you know, it's tolerable, and other days you need to get out, even in July. And, you know, so that's more of a kind of, that's almost like weather, if you're going to use a metaphor. That's more like weather versus climate. But over the long haul, one of the fishermen I talked to who's been out for 3-4 decades in the ocean, up and down the East Coast, said in the areas he fishes, he's seen about a 2-degree change. Scientists I talked to looking at specific places on the Pamlico that they've measured temperature time and time and time again. The Pamlico Sound, this vast, kind of sprawling, shallow, enclosed body, one of the larger bodies of water in the country and our cradle for a lot of our seafood species, is they've seen it jump between about 1.8 and 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit. I use those kind of weird numbers because they measured in Celsius. But, you know, almost 4 degrees potentially in some places, which is quite a lot for some fish.
And it reflects a steady rise, whereas up until even the 1970s, it rose, it fell, it rose and fell, a little like the stock market you watch. But now there's been kind of a steady rise over the past several decades.
Yeah, Pamlico is pretty shallow. The temperature is pretty variable there. And year to year, they had seen a lot of variation. You know, 1 year was coolish, 1 year was warmish. But, you know, since 72, they saw a lot of variance early on, beginning right after 1972, and then they tell me that the temperature rise had stabilized. Doesn't mean the temperature stabilized. It means it's increasing at a kind of more generally smoother rate.
And doesn't come down as much. So we've got some species going out and also species coming in that were generally found farther to the south. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and some of these things are the kind of things that got my attention because, let's face it, I'm a pig. You know,
we all know that. That's yeah. What we call you here. I didn't realize that you were aware of that.
Yeah, I hear the talk. Okay. You know, everybody likes seafood. I'm pescatarian. I hesitate to use the word. It seems kind of obnoxious. But I love seafood, and a couple of these species caught my eye. One of them was Florida stone crab. You know, there's this famous restaurant in Miami, Joe's Stone Crab, and man, those things are good. You know, a little drawn butter, and you're good to go. And they're a really interesting species, especially from a commercial standpoint, because they're sustainable in an unusual way. The people who take them pluck off their larger claw and drop the rest of the crab back in the water. It goes off and it regenerates the claw. Now, one of the studies I saw that really caught my eye was that they are now in the Pamlico, in parts of the Pamlico, in densities approaching the densities they see in parts of Florida. They've been up here in the southern part of the state for a bit, and, you know, people do take them and commercially, but, you know, typically you see them down in, like, Onslow County area up to maybe kind of the Crystal Coast area. But now when you start seeing them in the Pamlico, which is pretty far north, that caught my eye. And then, of course, lionfish, very sexy species. It's got a lot of press in recent years off and on. You know, people kind of dwell on the fact they have venomous spines, you know. This is an invasive species, native to the Pacific. And one of the theories, the strong theory is that they got here because the hurricanes in southern Florida destroyed some aquariums on docks, you know, kind of personal aquariums and saltwater aquariums, and they got out, got into the Gulf Stream, came up, and they just proliferate. They're voracious predators, and you find them on kind of rocky outcroppings and around wrecks where you can't net them very easily. So they're very hard to take and may not be here in commercial quantities, but you can kind of harvest them. Occasionally you'll see them in Whole Foods or someplace like that. Often they're spearfished. They're trying to get them with pods, but it's pretty labor-intensive to send a diver down and spearfish them individually. Really tasty species, that one, but like kudzu, needs to go.
The crab, not so bad. That sounds good. But then the loss of sea bass, tell us about that. That's been one of the more painful parts of this.
Well, we've still got them, and I kind of think of these shifts in population as kind of a comet, and we're more in the tail of the comet than the head. They're shifting north is what scientists say and what fishermen say, and they've appeared off of New England, for example, in greater and greater numbers. They're pretty thick. I talked to North Carolina commercial fisherman by cell phone the other day while he was actually pulling a net. He was off of Martha's Vineyard, and he was bringing in thousands of pounds of them per haul of his net, which is not what he wanted because he was fishing for something else, and mm-hmm. He had to, you know, cull them, drop them back in the water. But they're up there in just large quantities, and so instead of steaming just up to Virginia or a little higher from here to land them, the commercial fishermen have to move further north.
And they're wanting for some kind of more agility, as I understand it, in federal regulations about sort of how to manage these fish, right?
Well, that's the thing. If you talk to commercial fishermen, you will get a litany of the burdens that they face getting their work done. They have fuel costs that are up and down. Right now they're down. Inevitably, they'll be up again. And, you know, if you're steaming along at, you know, what costs you now about $1,500 a day, it might cost you $3,000 a day later. And, you know, you're working on kind of tight profit margins sometimes. So you got fuel costs. You have a lot of regulatory things that are often so complex. I talked to one fisherman whose wife has to call him on the cell phone periodically, kind of update him live and in person on the latest regulation changes. So if they have to steam further north for the fish, they're kind of at the limits of making decent living off of it. But right now we've got a federal quota in North Carolina. It's one of the largest in the country for black sea bass. And there's talk now because the fishermen to the north have had other species that they had relied on, fishermen New England, for example, leave or be decimated for other reasons. So they've had their species move north to a degree. Now they're eyeing the Black Sea bass because it's really thick off of their coast, and they're getting their politicians to weigh in on it and try to get the quota shifted so they get a bigger share.
You talked to Mike Ireland, who's a fisher in North Carolina, who would like to see North Carolina's lawmakers get on board.
I am really scared because they have New York has their senators behind it. Rhode Island, Massachusetts have their senators behind it. And, you know, I have said all along, if we really don't get pushing back a little bit, I am truly afraid we are going to lose this fishery. And when we lose it, I mean, I along with others, we have nothing left to do.
North Carolina commercial fisher Mike Ireland, so how desperate is it?
Right now, maybe not so much. I mean, they haven't shifted it. It'll take years to shift it. But, you know, it's one of those things where what's the right thing to do? The fish are up there. The fishermen are there. The fishermen down here have been relying on this species for a long time. Mike's got a very large investment in his trawlers. What should happen? This is the question. It's just one more layer of uncertainty, one more burden that kind of adds to the commercial fishing's kind of long list.
Jay Price, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
You can find links to Jay's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, what the evolution of fish reveals about the rest of our planet. We'll talk about that on The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.